You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moya Ritzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
And now, Rischa Daraisa, coming your way. Get ready.
If it's Erev Shchodesh Chof Tes, Adar Beis, Tavshin Pei Dalid, Erev Shchodesh Nissan, this must be Rischa Daraisa. I don't know how many of you were mechavin this morning in Birchais, Yitzera Ma'irois. The Ma'irois are going to be lokui. The Shemesh itself will be lokui today. This is something incredible, something that has been known, of course, by astronomers. And Rabbi Yosef Gavriel, right before we started recording, I realized that it's going to be 20 years to the next one visible in the United States, I believe.
Yeah, okay. There are solar eclipses around the world every month. It's not every month. It depends on the perspective. In other words, you have the Earth, the sun, and the moon in between, which is what happens every time you come to the end of one Jewish month, again the next Jewish month, right? So at that point, when they're perfectly aligned, the moment just before the Molad is every month the potential for a solar eclipse. The question is whether the angle lines up between the sun, the earth, and the sun, the moon, and the earth, so that it can be seen that the moon is in front of the sun. That doesn't work out perfectly everywhere on earth at one time, obviously, because this earth is rotating at the same time that the moon is moving. But the potential for a solar eclipse is there every single Rosh Chodesh.
So this, that when Chazal talk about the Simen Ra for the Olam, that the Chama is Lokui, how does that, how do you process that if it's just something?
The way Fisher explains it, basically is very similar to what Reb Tzadok says, and Shem Makam Mu'ad the Puranos, they're people more of the Puranos, there's money like Beit Hamitzvah, which is more of the Puranos, and there are places which are more of the Puranos, and there are also events which are more of the Puranos. There's built into the Bria a certain, I don't know if randomness is the right word, but the idea that in this place, there are certain schools, in this time, there are certain schools, in this person, there are certain schools. If they're used L'toiv, it's Gevaldik. But there are terrible odds that can be used L'ra. When it's used L'ra, then it's very negative. So Shlem could be a Makom Kodesh Ad Me'od, but usually it's Makom Mo'ad L'Pronos, and Megillah Shlishah Roitzchim is a similar idea. The Ben Abtsarim could be days of great Kedusha, but since they were misused, so it became days of day Ben Korban. From the Ramban, it says, Kol HaMekudesh Yoyser, Shomem Yoyser, the higher they are, the harder they fall. All these things are built into the Bria, that there should be such, the way of Sari puts it somewhere, that this lottery is built into the Bria, that you can be Zoyche if you get to the right place at the right time and the right conditions. And unfortunately, the other Zelu Mazeh. So Fisher is not bothered by the fact that it happens at regular intervals, which can be predicted when it will be seen, not be seen, because Yigufa, that's built into the Bria.
At a time, the eclipse was something that was clearly something that sent a sense of fear. It was unusual. Even the psukim that we have about Boya Shemesh Bigvurosoi, right? The Shemesh somehow disappearing. I think that's sort of the what eclipses were historically, some sign of God's anger at the world. One thing that scientists cannot predict, astronomers cannot predict, they can sort of guess could happen, is the moving of tectonic plates. And here they were on Erev Shabbos. We had the moving of tectonic plates here in Jersey that generated a pretty strong earthquake and aftershocks.
Did you feel anything? I didn't feel it at all.
I did not feel something, but people very close to me did, and they felt the aftershocks. Is there something here that we should perhaps say God is talking to us, the Kol Elikim, as Rabbi Azariah Ben Adumim refers to earthquakes in his tremendous essay that he appends to the Mor Einayim, the Kol
Elikim? I hope so, because there's a sheet of that it's bad for Umos Olam, and let's hope that it's bad for the enemies of Am Yisrael. Rabbi Grosser of Migdal Emek said that when the war began, he said, we're going to have 6 months of terrible, terrible difficulties, and that in Nisan we're going to see Yeshuas.
Yeah, Rabbi Grossman is able to say a lot of things, and it's incredible how many of the things he says sort of come true. he's a very special human being, and I like him a lot, and I'm just worried that people are going to overinterpret what's going on. Are you planning on going out there? I mean, you're teaching today.
I have no choice. It requires me to go out.
The school wants you to go out with the glasses and everything?
Yes. Yeah.
So you sound like you're grumbling about it. I mean, come on. The next one is supposed to be in America in 20 years. We're going to be in our 80s then. We're going to be in our 80s then.
Why would it be this many eclipse? Have you seen one eclipse? You see them all. What is it to look at?
Can't you say, Ma'isei Hashem? You don't think it's something to get a Cyrus from?
No.
I see, you're so cold. I can't believe it. I wonder if those that see the negative koyches that have been amassed against Eretz Yisrael and against Jews all over the world will see this again as something, another sign of negativity. Not a sign, as you said before, of the geula like Rav Grossman, but we'll see this as something, another portent of something terrible, that the Moiris were lucky. Rabbi Yosef, so are you able to snag a plum Pesach position for this year? Or are you, what's going on?
No snag, no nothing. We're going to Orlando.
So the land of the mouse is where you're going.
I've never been zeichet to be in the land of the mouse.
How many times have you been to Orlando?
I don't know, three or four.
And you have not gone to Disney World?
No, it's expensive. Why would somebody go to Disney World?
Why would anyone want to go to Disney World? I mean,
yeah, for what? Amusement parks have long lines for a 2-minute experience. It's a pella that people actually like doing these things. Listen, when I go to Disney, when I go to Orlando, I find lots of good stuff to do. There, which are not, there's WonderWorks, there's Gatorland, lots of fascinating.
So basically, tier two.
It's not necessarily like any less interesting than the major ones. They just don't charge as much as the major ones. Also, there's a fundamental idea, which is that you try and find a place where there are fewer crowds, right? Because if you go, it's overcrowded, then it's ridiculous.
But anyway, as I'm getting ready here on my 64th birthday to sort of make Yontif, the many halachos in Hilchos Pesach, in terms of Hagovas Kelim and Hechsher Kelim that are front and center in Hilchos Pesach, most of them, of course, aren't necessarily studied with the intensity that they at one time were. That is due to the fact that most of us have Pesach Kelim, where we don't kasher our Kelim, we take out our Kelim and we put the chametz tikka Kelim away. But this might be a time that you want to have Kelim that you don't have a double of, and you want to take from chametz to Pesach. And the question is, what sort of hagola, what sort of hechsher, what are you going to do? So Rabbi Yosef points out that this is a time to perhaps consider the halachic psukim that are issuing from a number of rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael to be mater standard metal kelim with just washing and perhaps rinsing in hot water, but not necessarily for them to go through hagola because they don't need it. Rabbi Yosef sent me last night two articles, one by Rabbi Yitzchak Dvir, the other from
someone we've mentioned a number of times in this program, Rav Lezer Melamed, that go through a survey of the halachas of why kelim need to be expunged from b'liyos that are in the d'ifnei akli, and how logic, halacha, sources, precedent indicate that the kelim bizmanenu, the standard stainless steel metal kelim of today, should be considered like the Sfardim considers schuchas, that as long as they're clean, as long as they're washed, as long as you apply detergent to them, there should be no problem using them for whether it's a chametz keli being used for Pesach or to be used to kasher from milchiks to fleishiks.
Several years ago, they did an experiment with a couple of avrichim with stainless steel and found that the bleas in stainless steel are very, very slight, like 1 in 17,000 or something like that. And that, generally speaking, stainless steel should therefore have the halacha of glass. And that whatever bleas perhaps existed in the past and in copper kalim and other types of kalim, which were used at the time of Chazal, don't exist anymore in stainless steel. And even some poskim will want to say that they never existed. And the real reason why there was an issue of kashrus back in the day was that there was no detergent. The evidence of that is that when you do a hagola today, and many kings do it, there is no substance of any type of dirt or let alone chametz or iser, which accumulates in the hagola.
According to Melamed and Dvir, who wrote these articles, the bleis that are mentioned, really, although we always imagine them as things we couldn't see that were somehow contained, like atom-like, in the keli, they say that's not the case. There was actual mamoshes that one could detect by viewing these kelim. They had crevices in them. They had holes in them. It wasn't like invisible bleis ever.
There are micro cracks which develop in stainless steel over time, and then there are bleis in these micro cracks, which actually do create some sort of scum if you boil up the pot. But evidently that also is infinitesimal and perhaps would even exist to some extent in glass. I don't know. But the point is like this. We can't be mad here as a Dover to Mola Rabin. Evidently that's many poskim have said that. Some poskim, who not necessarily my favorite poskim, like Rabbi Lior, have wanted to say that stainless steel taka does not need kashrus between milchik and fleishik, which would be a revolutionary idea. I think perhaps in the Israeli army, there's some sort of reliance on that. But the Hershel Schechter is supposed to have said, according to this website, that we should be matir it, but it's a dover tamula rabim, and we can't be matir dover tamula rabim. And unless Mashiach comes and we make an entire revolution in halacha.
So even though, as you've said, that klischukas, there has arisen a fault line between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim, with the Sfardim saying there's no blia, right? The Ashkenazim say no, we treat it as if these glass containers have these invisible blias, and we will not use them for milchiks and fleishiks. So even though that is existing, right? This dover tamua, where an Ashkenazi will say, "How dare you? You're washing the glasses together. How can you do that?" So it would seem Rav Hershel Schechter's point is a little bit neutralized by a dover that already exists by these various.
Yeah, but that's not right. That's not chatchilo. Chatchilo, we're machmir on glass, but I think that everybody recognizes that's a chumrah. We're only machmir by Pesach. By milchik and fleishik by glass. There is a mystical aspect to the halacha too, which is there is this idea that there's time honored tradition and custom, and maybe that is enough of a reason not to come out and say that this is something we should all re-explore. This still then becomes like a question of, well, may halacha be morikim, we won't go out and tell people it. But maybe if a housewife comes to you with a shiloh and a pot, which is stainless steel, you can be more lenient, still hate, and say, okay, under XYZ circumstances, and perhaps without even telling her the reason that you can be making.
It does appeal to me, the idea of kashrus being something
that we don't necessarily want to be measurable scientifically and to be under the control of every person who can go on the internet and check what is the level of bullies of various metals. I think we were all very accepting as when we both of us went through our limudim and to become rabbonim and to learn Hilchas Taruvas and Hilchas Kashrus that, yeah, there's a mitzias called bullies. We don't understand it. We don't necessarily know if it aligns to our scientific notions, but this is the way Kashrus works. And there's something, I think, healthy about that. Sort of saying the hanhogas of kashrus are things which we don't necessarily have total shlita and control over. I think there's something to that, especially I think in a period where, you know, people will play fast and loose with facts about things that they're able to cull from various sources.
So you're saying in the generation of Chovaveh, we have to be more stringent.
I'm saying in a generation where everyone turns to their own iPhone or computer for direction, there's something probably important in keeping the kashrus rules the way they are, and nobody can assail them and say, hey, this doesn't make sense. Where's the blia? Look, I don't know where the blia is. I can't show you the blia, but Chazal say it's there, and therefore this is going to be how we're going.
No, that's good because there's no Chazal that's stainless steel. They didn't have stainless steel.
But you're right. This was a chomer that had not been invented at this point. Right, the type of galvanized creation of that metal wasn't here yet. I guess the other thing is that we have such an embarrassment of wealth that the problem of having a separate kalim, of having a separate, whether it's from Pesach to Chometz or from Basar to Cholov, it doesn't seem to be that difficult. It seems to be a type of siyog that makes a lot more sense than Gebrokst, right?
I heard this last week of interesting rationale for Gebrokst. Dafka Bezman Azeh. Because one of the friends of this program, but that's since from Machmir to everything with 18 minutes nowadays, from beginning to end, including all of the Lishon Aricha, which Chazal said it's not that we allow us to be Mechametz, so therefore we do things far too quickly. And it could be that, in fact, nowadays, takas things don't get properly mixed into the dough, and there is taka flour, which could become Chametz if you put it into liquid. A fascinating idea.
When you have a matzah that was baked completely, it does seem to fly in the face of Gemara's Mufuroshes, what Chazal tell us that ein afiyah harbishul, that chometz can't happen.
No, I'm not machmer in Gebrokst.
But I think that being makabel these things isn't necessarily like this question of undue hardship. It really strains credibility. I mean, especially like if we push this beyond kashering kalim to not eating gebrokst, to the movement that I think Nachum Eliezer Rabinovich and others were trying to establish in Eretz Yisrael, where there would be one minag achid for nusach and in terms of hilchas Pesach, where kitnius would then be eliminated. I think this is probably everything's always seems to end up in kitnias, but don't you think there's such a brouhaha raised about, you know, the chumra of kitnias as if this is something that is
I think we've gone long enough for
it. But it's all part of the same thing. I think even when it comes to kitnias, these are things which I think Klal Yisrael can be makabel for 8 days, for 7 days, for 8 days. And these chumras, I think, as you say, are part of Kabbalah's Klal Yisrael. I mean, we haven't really explained why more traditional kashrus organizations haven't adapted it. It's because they don't want to, as you say, they don't want to do milsa tamua rabim.
I think so.
You know, I think there might be another idea here, and that, of course, is that the whole idea of Pesach is that we became kalim for the Shechina. The whole idea of kashering a keli, of being a keli to makabel the oiris that are nisgale on Leil Pesach, it isn't just, hey, here's a place for Yoredeya and Orachayim to come together. we have to align ourselves and limit ourselves and be ready to be koilate. And the way we're taka going to be koilate is by recognizing what we are, what, the gvulim that we have, and the potential possibilities that we have dafka because we're mitzamtzim ourselves. Leil Pesach is in a way the moira godol of ha'ora that's beyond, but part of our work is kashering the keli of our own seichel and lev and heart. And I think that there's something important about going through it. Obviously, with people, it doesn't happen often, but I'm sure even in your Orlando kitchen, there still will be that koshering that will take place. And I think that koshering, in a way, is a model for the type of transformation that we can still have. As we sign off, my friends, for this season, we hope to catch you in a Zman Acher Yontif, a Yontif where we, the Ha'aris of Geula, the light and power will surround us. Take care, my friends. Have a great Yontif. Be well.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.